We read the Word of God from Matthew 26, verses 17 through 56. Matthew 26, beginning to read at verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Jesus, he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and brake it, and blessed it and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all that they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scripture be fulfilled? That thus it must be. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Thus far the reading of the holy and divine scripture. We consider as our text tonight, verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the events of our text took place on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Jesus had been with his disciples all day, and along with the disciples, with Jesus was Judas. The devil had already entered Judas' heart, and Judas had made his deal with the high priest that he would betray Christ. And Judas was with Christ all day, and Judas was with Christ even in the upper room. And I'm convinced that Judas was present at the institution of the first Lord's Supper. That's fitting. You must understand that. That's fitting. That the Lord let Judas in that room, even though the Lord knew his heart. That's what the Lord does all through history. When the hypocrite lives in the church and he lays his fingers on Jesus Christ every Lord's Supper, the Lord lets him do that. And that's because the Lord always dealt with Judas according to Judas' confession. That Judas was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that Judas was a lover of Jesus Christ. And Judas, for 3 years, had played that hypocrite. The Lord knew Judas' heart. You must never think that the Lord made a mistake when he picked Judas, that the Lord perhaps thought that Judas was indeed a follower of Christ. The Lord knew from the very beginning who Judas was, and the Lord picked Judas in order that God's will and counsel concerning Judas, first of all, might be fulfilled, and secondly, the Lord's will and counsel concerning the sufferings of Christ might be fulfilled. And the Lord brought Judas very near to himself. Judas was as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as it's possible for a human being to be. Judas was truly a disciple of Christ. He followed Christ. He listened to Christ. He received from Christ power and authority to cast out devils and to heal diseases. He preached the name of Christ and the coming of God's kingdom all through the land of Palestine. The Lord always knew who Judas was. Many times he said to his disciples, Ye are clean, but not all. Many times he said to them, there is here the son of perdition. That man whom God had appointed to perdition. And that man who came up out of hell. The Lord always knew who Judas was. And now in the upper room too, as they're sitting there and Judas is with them, the Lord says, the hand of him that betrays me is at the table. And they all said, what? They all engaged in a discussion. And they all asked the Lord, is it I, Lord? Is it I? You know why they did that? Because Judas isn't far from any one of us. That's part of the application of the text. Judas isn't far from any one of us. The disciples all saw that. A betrayal of Christ. And they all ask, is it I? Judas too, playing still the hypocrite. As he played the hypocrite all his time with Christ. Judas, knowing that the Lord knew who he was. Judas, knowing that the Lord knew what he had done. But Judas, because the hypocrite can't do anything else. He cannot do anything else. Judas, too, had to ask. He had to ask. As he dipped his finger in the dish with Christ. Lord, is it I? And you can see a sardonic smile cross Judas's face as he asked that question. Judas was a traitor. Judas was a betrayer. And the Lord, after Judas had played his part, that the Lord wanted Judas to play in that upper room, the Lord dismissed Judas. That thou doest, do quickly. And Judas, playing his part to the very end, Judas arrives with his huge band of soldiers. We're going to talk about that band of soldiers. He arrives with that huge band of soldiers. And he had given them all a sign. It was a sign that only the devil could think of. The most heinous crime that's been committed in the world. Where Judas betrayed Christ in hatred for Christ. Judas says, here's the sign, guys. I'll kiss him. And that's the one. Lay hold on him. And Judas came into the garden. And Judas threw his hands around the neck of Christ. Master, master. And he kissed him. Jesus' response is remarkable. Friend, wherefore art thou come? And that's the words of the text that we consider tonight under that theme, the friend. Notice what he did. Notice why he did it. And notice the purpose of it. The order of events in the Garden of Gethsemane that night involving Judas and Jesus Christ is not entirely clear. I can read to you some from the Gospels, Luke 22, verse 47 through 48. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And in Mark 14, verses 43 through 45, and immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, same as he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And John does not record that kiss. John records rather that the multitude came, and Jesus stood before that multitude, and he asked them, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell down. That's what John records. That happened. And then we have our text. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him had given him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? The order of events isn't clear. When did it happen, what John records? That the Lord stood there with Judas among them. And the Lord said with Judas among them, Whom seek ye? And the Lord caused them all to fall down. And then this exchange, where Judas throws himself around the neck of Jesus Christ and says, Master, Master, and kissed him. And I say the point of all of the Gospels is this. This exchange between Judas and between the Lord was not over in a moment. First of all, Christ addressed Judas. According to John, and Christ, while Judas was still with the multitude, Christ showed to Judas his mighty power. He showed to Judas his absolute sovereignty. And in showing that to Judas, he showed Judas that all that Judas did was in the sovereign control of God. That Judas could not so much as move without Christ's own will. Judas didn't need that large band of soldiers. You know what that large band of soldiers was? That was another manifestation of Judas' unbelief and his fear. There's a twinge of terror in that band. That army knew, and Judas knew, the heinousness of what he was going to do. And he armed himself against God with the sword of man and with a mighty multitude. Only the devil can do that. And a man inspired by the devil. That they actually believe that they are going to lay hold on God and bring God into their power. They're going to lay hold on God and they are going to destroy God. That's what that army said. And that army was a manifestation of Judas' unbelief. But Judas didn't need that army. A child could have walked into that garden and taken Christ by the hand. And that child could have led Christ to the Sanhedrin, and the child could have led Christ to Pontius Pilate, and that child could have put Christ into the hand of the soldiers, and they would nail Christ to the cross. The point of that whole exchange is that Judas had to stand before Christ and Judas had to be impressed with the power of Christ, with the glory of Christ. And Christ, when Christ looked at Judas, Christ was looking the devil right in the eye. The devil was in Judas. The devil motivated Judas. As the devil has always hated Christ, he hated Christ there in the garden. Judas had to adjust Christ too. He had to consciously, before the concrete manifestation of the power of God and a concrete manifestation over the sovereignty of God, he had to run to Jesus. And he had to lay hold on the neck of Christ in an embrace of love, and to kiss him on the cheek, and to say in his ear, Master, Master. That hypocrisy and that lying that Judas lived in all his life, Judas pressed forward in the face of God to the very end. And in response to Judas, in his feigned embrace, his wicked kiss, the Lord's his friend. The Lord had been a friend to Judas. You better understand that. He'd been a friend to Judas. Don't tell me the Lord loved Judas. He didn't love Judas. He had been a friend to Judas. The Lord showed over against Judas in all of Judas' interaction with the Lord that the Lord stood in the light. So that Judas, for a time as darkness, lived in the sphere of that light. And the Lord showed that he was moved and motivated by the love of the Lord and the light of God. When Christ said friend to Judas, Christ was not being hypocritical. Christ meant what he said. And two, you must understand that Judas' hypocrisy was that Judas was a friend of Christ too. Judas was from Kirioth. That's what his name Iscariot means, from Kirioth. And Kirioth is in the land of the tribe of Judah. Judas was a man of Judah. He was a man of Christ's own tribe. He was Christ's own blood. And Judas had been chosen by Christ to be a disciple. Perhaps Judas oppressed himself on Christ. That's always a mark of a hypocrite, too. He out-piouses all the pious. He pressed himself on Christ as though he loved Christ. And then Judas, for 3 years, followed Christ. And when Judas realized that he had hitched his wagon to the wrong team of horses, then Judas decided that he was going to make some money on Christ. He was going to destroy Christ and enrich and profit from Christ. And in the garden, out of that spirit, he came with that devilish kiss. And when he saw Jesus, he ran up to Jesus and he kissed Jesus and he embraced Jesus. And he acknowledged Jesus as the master. And I say, when Christ called him friend, then Christ was dealing with Judas according to his own confession. What was that kiss? That kiss was Judas acknowledging that there is a deep and spiritual attachment between him and Christ. It was Judas acknowledging that he was Christ's lover and he was Christ's friend. It was Judas acknowledging that he submitted to the rule and authority of Jesus Christ, that he sought the glory of Christ and the coming of Christ's kingdom. That kiss, you understand, also acknowledged Christ as the Savior. Judas knew Psalm 2. Kiss the Son. And that kiss of Judas and that embrace of Judas and that address of Jesus Christ as Master and Master was the confession that Judas was the friend of Jesus Christ, that he knew Christ and he loved Christ. And you understand, friendship is very important to God. It's very important to Jesus Christ. You can say that for the sake of friendship, Christ came into the world. And for the sake of friendship, Christ went to the cross. And for the sake of friendship, Christ was raised again from the dead. Friendship is very important to God because friendship is who God is. God is a friend in himself, so that the Father is a friend to the Son in the Holy Spirit. And the Son is a friend to the Father in the Holy Spirit. And in that friendship, they have a most intimate communion and fellowship. What is a friendship? I say a friendship is two things. A friendship is, first of all, a shared life together. Husbands and wives are friends because they share a life together. Parents and children are friends because they share a life together. Fellow members in the church are friends because they share a life together.
And secondly, that friendship is within that shared life, the sharing of a deep and intimate communion and of secrets. Oh, yeah, secrets. There are things that friends know about friends that only they know. The friendship has a bond that binds those friends together, and that bond is trust. So that they share in the bond of that trust a secret. That's what the intimacy of a marriage relationship is. Within that bond of trust, the husband gives himself to his wife. And within the bond of that trust, the wife gives herself to her husband. God is a God of friendship, has a secret too. Jesus let Judas in on that secret. God's secret is his will and counsel for the glorification of his name. You start there. God's secret is his will to glorify himself. God's secret is that God be all in all. I think that's what Judas hated. Judas did not want God to be all in all. That's what the apostate always hates. That God's will is that God be all in all. But that's God's secret. That's what God talks about within himself. He talks about his own glory. And that secret of God to glorify himself is a secret to glorify himself in Jesus Christ. So that God set Jesus Christ in a position of honor and glory in his council as the very first in that council. That's what the apostle said. There's a mystery that's hid from the ages. And that mystery that's hid from the ages is God's will to wrap up into one all things in Jesus Christ. And the apostle says again that Jesus Christ, God made all things by him and for him, and that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. That's what Judas hated too. Judas hated that Christ was everything. You can even today hear that scorn of Judas on the lips of those who hate him. Does Christ have to do everything for you? They hate Christ, as Judas hated Christ, because God made him everything. And that secret of God was the glorification of his name in Jesus Christ in the formation of a covenant of grace with his elect people. God's secret is his sovereignty in election and reprobation into covenant. God's secret is that they're not all Israel that are of Israel. That he has mercy on whom he will have mercy. Whom he wills, he hardens. That his word is a savior of life to life and of death to death. That belongs to God's secret. You have to understand that's what Judas hated. When Christ spoke about the fact that there were plants that his father had not planted and that will be rooted up, that spoke to Judas. But Christ spoke about the son of perdition that spoke to Judas. When Christ said, "You're not all clean, but one of you is a devil," that spoke to Judas. And that meant that salvation was outside Judas' own power. And that meant that the kingdom that Christ talked about and the covenant that Christ talked about was not a carnal kingdom. It was a kingdom of light and of salvation and of eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth. And Judas wanted nothing of that. And Christ, when he called Judas to be a disciple, Christ called Judas into the circle of his friendship. And Christ always and only talked about God. Just as God only talks about God. Just as God's communion is a communion around the discussion of God's secret for the glorification of self in Christ and the coming of his eternal kingdom. That's what Christ talked about. Judas was in on that. Judas heard all those beautiful words. And there's something else about Judas. When Christ was speaking, Judas tasted the goodness of God, and he tasted the powers of the life to come. Understood. He understood, even in an experiential way, exactly what Christ was saying about God being all in all, and about salvation being Christ alone, and about God's sovereignty, and about his will and purpose. Judas knew exactly what Christ was saying. Christ let him in on his secret. That Christ always does with his friends. What does the psalmist say? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God always brought his friends into his communion. He always brought his friends into his secret, and he told them about that secret. He talked with Adam and Eve about it in the garden. When he told them that he would send the seed of the woman, he communed with Enoch about that secret, and Enoch preached that the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints. He talked with Noah, and Abraham was called the friend of God. So that the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? And the Lord spoke to Abraham of his secret. He talked to David as his friend. And he said about the prophets, the Lord will do nothing but that he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And he speaks elsewhere about the culmination and completion of that secret in the book of Revelation. That an angel stood upon the sea and the earth, and his hand was lifted up to heaven. That's Christ. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and earth, and the things that are therein, and the things in the sea and that are therein, that there should be no more time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it should begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared by his servants the prophets. There was a time that was coming when that secret of God would be completed, when that would be fulfilled. And that power, that life, that glory, that goodness of that coming secret and mystery that came in Jesus Christ and that was present in Jesus Christ, and Judas was witness to it. And you must understand, when that secret, when Christ speaks that secret to his people, then that secret lays hold on them. And that secret calls them out of the world, and it calls them into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and it makes them the friends of the living God, so that they love God and they rebuke the world and they confess the name of Christ. And when Judas threw his arms around Jesus and kissed Jesus and said, Master, Master. Then Judas was saying, I am a part of that. I love that. I love that with all my heart. I seek that. I live for that. I'm going to kiss the Son because the Son is my Savior. And I long for the coming of His kingdom. And I rejoice in my part in the covenant. And Jesus said to him, friend, friend, wherefore art thou come? Because Jesus treated Judas according to his own confession. Not that he loved him. He called him the son of perdition. He called him a devil. He called him unclean. He called him friend. Because he had taken Judas into that secret. He had shared his life with Judas. He had taught Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? Because Judas had come to betray Christ. His kiss was the most terrible kiss that has ever been given. He actually went through with it. That probably is the shocking thing. Judas didn't only contemplate. Judas didn't only plan and purpose. Judas didn't only take the 30 pieces of silver and then in fear and trepidation that he was going to lay hold on God and kiss God. Well, in his heart, he would destroy God. He actually did it. And that kiss of Judas was pure treachery. It was deception. It was a lie. It was faithlessness. That's true. It was perfidy. But it was treachery. It was the ugliest and most evil kiss that a man has ever given. It was a betrayal of Christ and all of the intimacy that Christ had showed to Judas. It was a betrayal of trust. So that as Christ was opening up to Judas the secrets of the counsel and will of God, and Judas was drawn into the intimate fellowship of Jesus Christ, so that Judas knew Christ, so that Judas understand Christ. You must understand that about Judas. Judas did not do what he did out of ignorance. Judas, of all the disciples, knew what was going to happen. Judas did. Peter was naive. John was naive. James was naive. Christ would tell them, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer many things at the hands of the Pharisees and the scribes. And they're going to crucify me. And I'll rise again the third day. All the other disciples had passed him right by. Judas got it. With the shrewdness of the hypocrite, he knew exactly what was going to happen. And he rejected it. He hated it. He hated the thought of Christ's cross. He hated the thought of salvation from sin. He hated the thought of the resurrection. He hated the thought of an eternal kingdom, an eternal covenant. He hated it all. But he knew what Christ was saying. I think that's always true of a hypocrite. Sometimes the minister preaches a word, and the people of God say, I don't know exactly what he was getting at. You do that. The word, as it were, passes you by. I don't believe the word ever passes a hypocrite by. God won't let it happen. Because God has a purpose with that hypocrite. And the word of Christ did not pass Judas by. There was only one other of Christ's disciples who understood what he was saying, and that was Mary. And Judas and Mary had an exchange, an angry exchange, precisely about Christ's secret. Christ had said, in the home of Lazarus, I'm going to suffer and die. And Mary, knowing what Christ had said, believing what Christ had said, Mary took a very expensive bottle of ointment and she anointed Christ's feet. And Judas saw that. And Judas said, "What? With feigned, hypocritical outrage. Why was that not sold for 200 pence and money given to the poor?" Judas, even in his feigned outrage, was showing his hatred to the cross of Christ. And Christ said, and Judas stirred up the whole crew of the disciples. They were all down on Mary. And Christ said, "Let her alone. She did that for my burial." But Judas knew. He'd been with Christ. And his betrayal was an act of sin against that friendship. So that professing to be a friend and entering into the intimate communion of Jesus Christ, Judas used that position to take up with Christ's enemies and to destroy Christ. I think that's pretty much at the heart of a betrayal. You use the position of intimacy and trust that you have to destroy another. Judas took up with the enemy. He said, "I'm a friend of God and of Jesus Christ." And he was actually friends with the devil. He said, "I'm a friend of the church." And he was actually friends with the world. And he used that intimacy, he used that relationship for his own advantage. Judas was going to profit out of this. And he used that intimacy in feigned love for Jesus Christ to destroy Christ. That was Judas' purpose. He wanted to destroy Christ. He wanted Christ's memory blotted out from the face of the earth. That's what a betrayal is. It's a sin against trust. It sells out a friendship for personal gain so that you use as a weapon. You use as a weapon against the one that you want to destroy, your own knowledge of them. And a traitor is a despicable person. No one likes a traitor. After World War II, they just shot them. No trial. They all knew who they were, and they all knew what they did. And they strung them up. That's what a traitor deserves. To be summarily executed. That's what God did to Judas. He did his evil deed. And God had him hung. Even the Pharisees and the scribes didn't like a traitor. Judas came back with his money. And he said, "I've done very bad." He had the sorrow of the world. Judas had the sorrow of the world. "I've done so terrible. I've sinned so greatly. And you have to take the money back." Judas played the hypocrite to the very end. And even the scribes and Pharisees hated a traitor. What's that to us? You see to it. Judas was a traitor because he was a reprobate. That's the deep explanation of Judas' treachery and betrayal. He's a reprobate. What's true of the reprobate in the sphere of the covenant is true of Judas. You read of that in Hebrews 6. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost
and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That was Judas. You've been brought in to Christ's fellowship. That's what the sphere of the covenant is, you know. The sphere of the covenant is the sphere of God's fellowship. You might not be a member of the covenant, but you're in the sphere of it. And God determined that that's where Judas would be born. That that's where Judas would live. He would live in that sphere of the covenant. So that in that sphere of the covenant, the sinfulness of man can come to its highest expression. The highest expression of the sinfulness of man, not out there in the world, it's right in the church. It's right in the sphere of God's friendship. And when a reprobate and an unbeliever is brought into the sphere of that friendship, then the effect is to make him the most wicked person in the world, who will actually betray Christ, crucify him afresh, put him to an open shame. You have to come that close to the truth in order for that level of wickedness to manifest itself, so that you actually taste of the powers of the world to come. Your mind is actually enlightened by the light of God. You taste the goodness of God. You say, I hate it. I hate that God. I hate that Christ. I hate that kingdom and that covenant. I hate it. And with in malice, you attack it. And you use that very close position as a weapon to overthrow the God in Christ that you hate. And Judas betrayed Christ too because he was a carnal man. Scripture calls him a thief. Judas stole from the church. He took the money that people had given to the church, and he held the bag. He was the treasurer. He was the deacon. And every now and then, Judas would dip into that bag for himself. He was a thief. He was a carnal man. And to the sphere of Christ's friendship, all Christ ever said to him was, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of gold and silver and raiment. Judas was hoping for an earthly kingdom in which Judas would be treasurer and he'd be the manager of all that wealth that Christ would bring in. He was a thief, simply a carnal man. When Christ came, Judas said, ah, now we're going to have a new kingdom of David, and I'm going to be in at the ground floor, and I'm going to be treasurer. He's a completely carnal man. You can never think that Judas thought, oh, well, I really want the kingdom of David to come, and I want God's promise to be fulfilled, and he only became disillusioned with Christ afterward. You can't think Judas was a very spiritual man, and that only after he understood what Christ was going to do did he turn to be a carnal man. His attachment to Christ was carnal from the beginning. And that carnality is a reprobate. He hated Christ. Out of his own hatred, he gave that devilish sign, and he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. I say only one in whose heart the devil has come can do that. And why? You can feel the anguish, can't you? In Christ's words, friend, wherefore art thou come? There's a knife in those words. Let me give you an example. The wife whose husband left the house to be with a whore. And he comes home and he kisses her. And she, knowing, says to him, "Friend, where have you been?" Betrayal. There isn't much more damaging than betrayal. God says because of it, you can divorce. The only reason you can divorce, because the husband takes up with another woman and he betrays his wife. Children who know their parents, they know their parents' weaknesses, and they know their parents' infirmities, and they know their parents' weakness for them. And they use it as a weapon to kill their parents. Or parents who know the vulnerability of their children, and they use their power and authority as a weapon against those children. They betray. Jesus had to suffer betrayal because that's what we did. In the garden, in the beginning, Adam took up with the enemy and he betrayed his father. Oh, it was great sin. It was rebellion and it was covetousness. And it was the desire to be God. It was betrayal. Every one of us is a traitor by nature. And two, every week, you go out into the world and you take up with the enemy. And when you're done with the enemy, you bow your head, and you fold your hands, and you give the Son of God a kiss. When in your heart you love the world, you betray Him. And in our relationships, a faithful man, who can find? Who doesn't? And who hasn't? At some point, betrayed. So that you took advantage for your own personal gain, your own pleasure or your own lust, your relationship with a friend. That's why Jesus had to be betrayed by Judas. Because there were traitors whom God loved. There were traitors whom God had appointed to salvation, whose treachery deserved eternal condemnation. That's where Judas is. Judas is in the lowest hell. You can't get any lower than Judas. He's with the devil. We'll be with the devil and with the false prophet. He's the son of perdition. He was appointed to hell and he came up out of hell. And to hell he returned. That's the abode of the traitor. God hates the traitor because God loves friendship. It's who he is. It's what he works. It's what he gives. Wonder of wonders, there's traitors whom God loved. Traitors in Adam. And traitors in their relationship, betrayers of trust, for their sake,
God took all their treachery. God loaded it on Jesus Christ to deliver them from the sentence of condemnation against their treachery. You know what? He takes them up into his friendship. You know what the fruit of Jesus suffering treachery is? You have a place in God's covenant. He gave you a wife, and he gave you a husband, and children, and a name and place in the church, all because he loved you. And you too must suffer treachery. Oh, yes. You must have a friend with whom you have had a relationship, who eats bread with you, and with whom you have shared a secret, and he'll lift up his heel against you to destroy you. You'll have a man who comes to you, and he speaks to you honeyed words, reverend, reverend, reverend. And in his heart, he plans to destroy you. You too must suffer treachery. That's part of Christ's suffering that's left. And then, too, don't exalt yourself. Judas isn't far from you. You want a picture? I'll give you a picture. Though all men deny thee, I never will. Oh, Peter, before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. And he denied him with cursing and with swearing. But God loved Peter. And God went and found him. God sought him out. God turned him. God forgave him. Because Jesus Christ had been betrayed into the hands of sinners. Judas isn't far from us. It's in our nature. And the Lord must give us his grace. The Lord must give us his spirit in order that we be faithful, that we confess his name, that we love his covenant, that we seek his kingdom, that we hate the world, that we seek the glory of Christ and of God, not ourselves. That we willingly suffer for his sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we're sorry, Lord, for all our unfaithfulness. We're sorry, Lord, for any and all of our treacherous dealings and our betrayal of thy love. In the love of others, forgive us for the sake of the one who was betrayed into the hand of sinners, whose wicked hands crucified and slew him. Him who was delivered by thy determinate counsel and foreknowledge to save us from our sins. And Lord, cause us to love thee and to confess thy name, so that we may even say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest that we love thee. We ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.